This is Michael Olivas, the Rock and Roll Law Professor, with the Law of Rock and Roll.
It's a legal matter, baby, a legal matter from now on.
Class 23, Pamplemousse and the Law and Business of Touring. Today's class is about the economics and business of bands on tour, and these can be daunting. U2's Innocence and Experience Tour is a 20-city and growing 6-month sojourn through North America and Europe. They have grown since their early stripped-down arena mode and have ramped it up to become a virtual festival, an enormous production with huge screens, complex light shows, and digital paraphernalia on stage. All groups must tour, and the law and business of these tours cannot be averaged, although it's clear that there are huge sets and, at the other end, one-night troubadours in the enterprise. The old Chitlin Circuit, which provided African-American entertainers small black nightclubs, and the Hank Williams honky-tonk venues that afforded access to country musicians were the precursors of today's well-worn pathways, casinos, and concert halls. At the other end of the successful spectrum from U2 or Taylor Swift was Sixto Rodriguez, the rocker who was lost for many years before he was discovered by South African fans, as featured in the documentary Searching for Sugar Man. I saw him perform in Houston, alone and almost 2 hours late, as I stood in a mosh pit waiting for him. He was helped to the stage, and he could not even keep his single guitar tuned, although the music he did perform was quite wonderful. In between is the indie group Pamplemousse, a California couple who work hard at their craft, cultivate a large fan base, and hope for the best. Jack Conti and Natalie Dawn named themselves, however improbably, for the French pronunciation of grapefruit, and they engage in all the auxiliaries available to groups. They make and produce videos, quite successfully, with almost 500,000 YouTube subscribers and over 100 million viewers.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Pamplemousse provides a great case study of this subject, as they carefully recorded the profits and expenses of their very first national tour, a month-long series of 24 shows in 23 U.S. cities. They also write about it in great detail in a fascinating online journal from where I'm drawing my figures. Before they sold a single ticket, they had plunged into almost $25,000 in credit card debt for upfront expenses, such as renting the van, hiring backup musicians, and paying various down payments for venues, advertising, and related tour expenses. Unlike the dozens of U2 roadies and drivers who moved the tons of equipment, Natalie and Jack drove and set up the gear, with 4 backup musicians and 2 crew members, their sound engineer and tour manager. They estimated the month and their upfront expenses cost them $148,000. They paid commissions for their booking agency and business management firm for the financial accounting, and they lucked out when their lawyer generously donated his commission for his various legal services. He must have had faith that someday, when Pamplemousse negotiate a record deal or gain a bigger following with increased auxiliaries, he will recoup his personal investment. Their ticket sales were almost 72% of the tour income, and they sold merchandise for a tour total of around $136,000. So they lost about $12,000 on that tour, even with capacity crowds and over 1,000 enthusiastic paying customers at a Fillmore gig. One final thing. At the end of the tour, which built up their brand and solidified their growing fan base, they also created a sophisticated crowdfunding platform where fans can contribute money, buy merchandise and videos, and support pet cultural products. They're making it on their own independent tour and devote a substantial amount of time to their music, but also to the infrastructure that musical small businesses require. A few years before Conti wrote about the duo's tour, New York Magazine published a story about an even more well-known indie band, Grizzly Bear, who opened for Radiohead and who sold out Radio City Music Hall for their shows, and noted that they were barely making it. There are thousands of such talented groups and entertainers waiting for their breakthrough TV appearance, tour opportunity, or hit song that is widely downloaded. But while many are called, few are chosen.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? Then listen now to what I say.
This is Michael Olivas. You're still touring and hoping for my big break, Rock and Roll Law Professor, with the Law of Rock and Roll on KANW, your NPR station in Albuquerque, New Mexico.